Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Delightfully Dark Discussions with Priestess Alana.
Hi, guys.
And myself, Priestess Akalta. We are incredibly, incredibly excited to do the show for you guys because we have, we have an incredible adventure which we have gone on, which we are going to talk about on the show. We were invited by the YouTube channel Overnight and their incredible, wonderful crew to join them for an overnight adventure on the Queen Mary, which is a haunted military ship that was converted into a hotel, which now rests at Long Beach, California. And we were invited by them to go on a paranormal trip, spending the night and performing an incredible ritual. So today we are going to talk about that. But first, Alana's going to tell you more about the Queen Mary ship, and then we're going to dive into why we were there and what it is we experienced.
Yes, so the Queen Mary is an ocean liner of the Cunard White Star Line. It was launched in 1934 and served as a transatlantic liner, troop transport, and cruise ship until 1967. As Akalta mentioned, it's now in Long Beach, California, and it's generally used as a hotel and conference center, though it is rumored to be haunted. There's paranormal evidence of this, and it was listed in the top 10 haunted paranormal places by Time Magazine.
Yeah, and I'm going to say from personal experience, it's a pretty haunted ship. Like, there is a lot of paranormal activity there. There's a lot of spirits there, and there's a lot of very interesting entities there. So we are going to link you to the video over on Overnight. It's going to be down below in the description. So if you do want to see the video, just follow the link below. It's an amazing video. It was an amazing night, and the video captured it perfectly. So we will link you to the video below. And also, if you like our channel and want to see more content from us and want to see more Delightfully Dark Discussions, please like and subscribe to our video. We love having you guys. We love having you on this journey with us. And we love it when you subscribe to our channel. So please, if you love our content, want to see more of it, hit that subscribe button. But anyway, back to the Queen Mary. So we were invited to go there and perform a ritual. So upon scanning the ship has a lot of energy. It has a lot of energy and it has a lot of history to it. There is definitely sinister forces there, as well as benevolent ghosts that wander around and explore the ship. So upon scanning the ship, there is a sinister force, a very nasty sinister force, which does kind of keep tabs on the ship and creates this atmosphere, this sinister atmosphere. So our job was to go in and basically contain the sinister entity to room B340, which B340 is the most haunted room on the ship. It is the room where we did the ritual, and it also is the room where some of the most sinister things have happened in the past on that ship. So our job was to go in, perform a ritual, defining the space, defining the parameters, and containing the sinister creature to that space. Now, we deal with sinister forces all the time. We deal with darkness all the time. We're not worried about that. Our job, though, was to keep everybody else on the ship safe.
Yes, we did a lot of preparatory rituals before going. We did a ritual to set up the candles, charge them with the dark lords that we called in. This was so we could create a safe space and a shield around B340 to keep everything in that needed to stay in.
The ritual was designed to basically call in four dark lords to enact a parameter around B340 and then pull all negative entities into that space. So the dark lords that we called were Lord Beelzebub. He is a dark lord of protection. He is a guardian of many theistic Satanists, demonologists, and demonosophers. And he was called in to create a shield of protection, a shield to protect us, and a shield to also secure the energies of the ship and offer protection to others so that they wouldn't be harmed. We also called in Lord Lucifer, who Lord Lucifer was called in to help us awaken the inner light from within and to amplify our own power. So our personal shields and defenses would be fortified so that we would have that security in that space. Lord Lucifer also added his energies to the shield in order to enforce it and keep all the sinister forces confined to that room. We also called in Lord Lucifuge Rofocal, who is incredible to work with when working with any dark entity, any dark or sinister entity. He is a demon of the underworld. He understands darkness. He understands banishment. He also understands defining space and keeping your space safe. We have called on him many times to help with banishment and to help with different cleansings and keeping a space secure and protected. So he was one of the dark lords that we called in. And then, of course, Lord Leviathan, who is Lord of the Abyss, Lord of the Black Ocean. And it just made so much sense because his energy was so synchronistic to the energies of the Queen Mary, to the energies of the ocean, and also his power and his presence to offer protection against the sinister entity who was also of water element, who is also of the deep, of the darkness, of the abyss, of the great chasm below, and make sure that that was contained and safe. So Lord Leviathan added his energy to keep this creature confined to this space. So that was why we picked the four dark lords we did, and that's why we did the ritual that we did.
Another aspect that we prepared for as well was Elton had requested to be possessed. And we'll talk about possession in a minute. But we did have to bring this stuff to perform an exorcism just in case, you know, it did get in and didn't want to leave. Mm-hmm. He naturally has a very strong will. And we did actually check with him throughout the ritual if he was okay, if he wanted to keep going. Mm-hmm. He wanted to keep going. So.
He has a very strong spirit. I wasn't worried about him being able to remove that and to clear it from his system. But he, yes, this was all voluntary. This was all what he requested us to do. And like Alana said, possession is not something that you take lightly. It's not something that you just go and do over a weekend. We have a lot of training in working with demons. Demons are our friends. They're our allies. They're our guardians. There are other sinister entities out there, though, that can possess people in a negative way. I've actually worked on paranormal cases in the past, removing these entities from people who are being seriously impacted by them. So there's a lot of danger that comes with possession, a lot of danger that comes with channeling, and a lot of danger that comes with, you know, allowing an entity to have access to your energy. So you really want to make sure that you trust that entity and that you have a good connection with them and you know them, because like channeling with your personal companions, you know, demons you trust, deities you trust, it can be a lot of fun. It can be an empowering and incredible experience. But when you get something sinister and nefarious, it can be quite horrific and it can be quite, you know, damaging. So Elton did request to be possessed. So we did it in the safest way possible, keeping that creature's energies away while allowing other energies to come in. And there were a lot of energies on that ship. There were a lot of energies of sorrow, of sadness, you know, of regret and lamenting. So a lot of ghosts on there, a lot of ghosts on there that lament the life they didn't get to live. A lot of spirits which wander restlessly. So allowing those energies in, you can channel messages. You can get a sense for them. You can get a sense for them, who they were, you know, the lives they lived, and just an understanding of them. So no, don't do this at home. This was done completely voluntarily from Elton. He wanted it done. He requested it of us. And he wanted us to also separate the nefarious entities from the positive ones, so that while we were in the room with those creatures, the other ghosts were able to wander free and interact with the other guys on the paranormal team. So there was a lot of prep work involved energetically, a lot of elements we had to consider when preparing for something like this.
Yeah, because as some people may already know, in involuntary possession, which this was not that exactly, since he did want to be possessed, there are negative, nefarious things that can get in, that can jump from person to person. So that was a concern. We didn't want that happening. We also wanted to set up the B340 as a space people could walk into and out of without things going with them.
Yeah.
Like, people needed to be able to pass through that, you know, past the threshold of what we set up for shielding without taking the things with them.
That exactly. So that was why we chose the dark ones, especially Lucifuge, because then people could enter the space, be protected, and leave the space and be cleansed. Elton did want to retain those energies. He wanted to have that experience. So there was a lot to consider in this. And it was, the ritual was very long. Like, it was a very long ritual. It took us quite a while because we really had to define these energies. We really had to define this space. So we went on to the Queen Mary and we had to assess the energies and we had to make sure that all these components were covered. So the ritual did last a while. It lasted a long time. We had to basically control the energies all night and make sure that everything was going according to plan, that nothing happened. And as Alana said, we did have like an exorcism kit. And we're not talking about, like, a lot of people think, oh, exorcism, you know, the Catholic exorcism ritual. No, there's many different types of exorcism rituals. An exorcism ritual is basically just where you remove a sinister spirit from an unwilling host. So if a spirit is invading a host body, the exorcism ritual is designed to remove that with the power of a deity and a god. So in our case, we actually do call on the Dark Lords to remove the entity from the one who is possessed or the one who is suffering. So the Dark Lords that we work with is the Sifutra Fokal, who was part of our shielding ritual. That was done on purpose as well, because if we needed to do the exorcism ritual, we already had the energies of Lucifuge there. And Sinelian and Dantalian would also be called in to perform the exorcism ritual itself. So that was something that we had to take into consideration as well when going into this space and working with these energies and these forces.
Yes, and making sure we had everything we needed to perform an exorcism. So we actually had to make sure we brought everything with us in a kit. We don't usually prepare it as a kit. We have the things on hand, but, you know, we're going to be on a ship. So we had to make sure we had dirt with us, which is not easily acquirable on a ship. So we also did a lot of the prep work beforehand to get everything set up, so if we did need to use it, we could just mobilize quickly and, you know, make sure that nobody was in any danger.
Mm-hmm. And we had crystals and we had different tools and different basically items which we would use for cleansing, which we would use for banishing, which we would use to kind of clear the space. We did a lot of preparation work in the beginning, a lot of work holding the energies throughout the night, so it was very intense.
Yeah, after we did several rituals in a row to draw the energies in, then to set up the space to call in the Dark Lords, and then also the one to get Elton actually possessed. Mm-hmm. And we did more rituals later on following that. And we had to be prepared to do other ones, which thankfully we didn't need to do.
Yeah.
But yeah. We brought a lot of stuff with us just in case.
Yeah, I figured that that shield in the beginning was specifically designed to do this. So this is one of the things I talk about programming a shield, like programming the shield and making sure that you have defined what it is that you want to do. Because that's the thing. When you're doing a ritual, you want to lay out in advance what it is you want to attain, the goals you want to attain, and everything that you want to do. And then you can write the ritual. You can write the ritual and you can program all those elements into it. So we wanted safety and protection for everybody. We wanted to contain this dark energy and all nefarious forces on the ship to B340. We wanted to possess Elton with an entity that was not going to hurt him. So we had to also create a space where that could happen while keeping everything else out. And then we also wanted to make sure that we were safe and shielded and protected and that we had all the defenses set up for us. So there was a lot of layers that went into this and a lot of thought that went into this. I mean, a lot of people don't realize how much goes into our rituals, like all the different layers we consider, all the different avenues we consider, all the different elements that we incorporate into our rituals, because we do think about these things, because we've all had experiences. I mean, I've dealt with people who are possessed before. I have had this experience. I got myself possessed because I wanted to make sure that I could push it out. I mean, I have trained myself with a lot of different forces, with a lot of different, you know, experiences in order to make sure that when we go into these situations, you know, we are safe and that there is no danger involved. So yeah, but when doing any ritual, you want to lay out the goal of the ritual, what you want the ritual to attain, and also things that might go wrong during the ritual so that you can prepare for them and kind of weave those energies into your shield so that if something does go wrong, you're already one step ahead of the game and you can start the preparation work to handle the situation and return everything back to a balanced and a balanced state.
Yeah, because you never know what's going to happen. You know, we've been doing this for a while. Akelta's been doing it for her whole life, and I've been on this path with her training since 2014. So we have a lot of experience in this area handling, usually removing. I don't think we've ever tried to get somebody voluntarily possessed, aside from ourselves.
Except from ourselves, yeah, except ourselves. That was for training purposes, though. Don't try that at home either.
Yeah, people are still probably going to try it, but, you know, you should know how to do a banishing if you're going to try something like that. Mm-hmm. I could warn people all day, don't do this, you know, it's not a good idea, but when somebody's going to do something, they're going to do it, so.
Well, with training, like, even channeling can lead to possession. Because you are channeling the energies. Invocation can lead to possession. Evocation done wrong can lead to possession. All forms of interacting with spiritual forces can lead to possession, which is why you really want to know what it is that you're doing. You want to have a strong spiritual foundation. You want to know how to shield. You want to know how to ground. You want to know how to ward. You want to know how to cleanse. And you also want to know how to banish and remove entities from your space. If you cannot do that, if you don't have that skill, you shouldn't be channeling things. You shouldn't be trying to, you know, invite just random spirits to jump into you, because yeah, sometimes it'll work out fine. And a lot of people are like, oh, well, I did this and it worked out fine. But then sometimes it goes wrong. And that's when problems happen.
You really don't know what's going to happen sometimes. So it's good to do your research, be prepared, preferably learn from somebody who knows what they're doing. I know sometimes it's hard to find people like that, but, you know, if you can find a mentor, I definitely recommend that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the Queen Mary, that was quite an experience. Like, that was an amazing experience. And when we were invited to go on, We talked, we had many conversations with Elton, just talking, and he was asking us questions, asking us, you know, for our credentials, asking us how long we'd done this, asking us for what we did. And then when he was like, all right, let's do this, we started working with him, started researching the ship, started learning about the energies, learning about the entities that were there. And, you know, there's quite a few benevolent spirits there. There's quite a few, like there's ghosts of children there. There's a woman who loves the piano being played. She absolutely loves the piano being played and music. I mean, music is one of those things that just, it connects us. It connects us across time and across space. And I know even we also went to the Villisca Axe Murder House as well and stayed overnight there with another friend of ours who is a paranormal investigator as well. And there as well, the ghost children love music. So music is a huge way to kind of bridge the connections, interacting with benevolent spirits. So there was there was a lot of different ghosts on there, a lot of different ghosts. You know, soldiers who had died on that ship. One poor soldier who had been crushed by a door when it cut him in half. So they all have their stories. And that's the thing. When interacting with spirits, when interacting with the dead, you are going to, you know, hear their stories. You're going to feel their emotions and you're going to connect to them on a level. And you're going to begin to understand them and realize, you know, that they are just beings who are here. They're here in this space, and some of them don't know how to pass over. Some of them don't know how to cross over. Some of them want to stay. Some of them feel they have unfinished business, and they've all got a story. They've all got a story to share. So connecting with benevolent spirits can be an incredibly empowering and a beautiful, beautiful journey.
Yes. And another thing that I want to add to this is when interacting with them, you should always be respectful. Mm-hmm. We set up an altar at the beginning of this, bringing offerings of food, and we had candles. They're not real candles because we can't use real candles on the ship, but we set up an altar space and gave them offerings of food. We played music for them, and just invited them in to begin with, the benevolent ones.
Yeah, we invited them to join us while we lured all the negative ones to B340. And it showed in B340 when we were doing the ritual, the temperature increased exponentially. And we did not have real candles. Those were not real candles in that space. The temperature in the room just increased. And that was from the raising of energies from the ritual that we were doing. It was, when I get into that space though, like everybody else felt it, I think, more than I did. Cause when I get into that space, I don't feel heat. I don't feel cold. I am just completely focused on the task. And it's actually funny because another experience we were on, where I had to do ritual work outside in the freezing cold. I didn't feel it either. So I didn't feel the inferno, and I didn't feel the freezing cold. So that's one thing. When you get into that focused ritual space, nothing should affect you. The energy's raising, the energy's decreasing, nothing should affect you.
Yeah, I remember that. Everybody was like, "It's so cold, aren't you cold?" And we're like, "No, we're good. We're fine. We're doing what we need to do."
Yeah, that was a fun experience too. But yeah, no, B340 got really, like, the temperature just raised. And it was because you pull that much nefarious and sinister forces into one space, it is going to raise the energies. And also we called in the Dark Lords. That's also going to raise the energies. It's one of the best ways to kind of see if your spells are working or your rituals are working is if you feel a change in temperature. If you feel the temperature going up, that's a good sign. That's a very good sign that you are impacting the energies around you and that spiritual forces are interacting with you.
Yeah. And to add to that, while we didn't have, I don't think we had anything in the room with us during that except the cameras, on other trips we've been on, we have had equipment in the room and it's detected the temperature going up and other changes and things. I personally was not a fan of the paranormal equipment. I didn't know how it worked and I didn't really trust it. But since doing a lot more of these, I've seen how it interacts with the energies. And because I can sense and have developed my psychic senses, it's really cool to see the equipment respond when I'm picking up on things too. So I actually really like the equipment now.
Yeah, that part is really cool. Like when you start to pick things up psychically and then you see the equipment going off and you see messages coming through and you see all the physical manifestations around you that are actually physical manifestations that other people can see. It's not just you, because I know what I see. I know what I sense. I know what's going on around me. But when you actually see that, it's amazing. And it's really cool because then you can share it with other people. Cause then it's like, hey, you know, remember this, I was feeling this when this thing was doing this. And, you know, you can connect and it kind of bridges that, because I know a lot of people are like, oh, this is fake and this is not real and this isn't true. And it's like, well, it is real. Like it's real to us. It's very real to us. That's our psychic senses pick up on so much. We pick up on so many things that are around us. And to see that in a tangible way that other people who aren't psychic or people who don't believe can see as well. It's a really awesome way to kind of bridge those two worlds and show the authenticity of what we do.
Yeah, I definitely have a whole new appreciation for all of it. You know, the equipment picking up things, because it's like, I can hear things. I'm naturally clairaudient and I've done a lot of work to train my senses. And I'll hear things and nobody else hears it. And they know they don't hear it. But when it gets picked up later on camera or something, it's like, oh yeah, wow, now I can hear it. It's like, yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, like there was one part of the tape where there was a growl and someone commented that I stopped talking when the growl happened. And yeah, I was hearing things. I was hearing random things. And I was constantly checking in with the energies to make sure that we weren't about to be attacked in that room. Because like I said, we pulled a lot into that room with us. So it was like, keep making sure that we were safe, making sure that we were protected, making sure that we had the defined space to possess Elton in that room. It was quite the layered ritual. It was great. I loved it.
Yeah. Another thing in line with that as well, is part of our training is not to react to things. We absolutely cannot be in a space like that and have any fear whatsoever. So a lot of personal self-work goes into what we do, mastering ourselves, our fears, our weaknesses, everything. Because once you start working with things like that, they will absolutely take advantage of you and anything they can use to get in. So yes, you really have to know yourself. You have to know your boundaries. You have to know what you're doing. Things like that will come in and exploit it in any way they possibly can.
That's so true. And that's so true going into a space. That's actually one of the reasons why Elton was so good to be in that space, is he really has no fear in those situations. He just goes into the situation and he's open to explore. He's open to be curious. He has a very strong energy. Like, he's got a very strong energy. So he can push things out. He can cleanse himself. He does a lot of things to experience it, to experience what's going on. So to give him that experience, you know, we set up energies that were designed to possess him, but not in a way that was going to, you know, damage him or harm him, and something that could be reversed and he could just cleanse and remove those energies from his body.
Yeah. If you are wanting to do this type of work, you really should make sure that you have a good handle on what your weaknesses are, fears. And do not approach it. If you have any doubt or any fear whatsoever, then you should not be doing any of this.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't be. This is not something to do at a party for kicks. This is something that's very serious, and it's very, you know, it takes a lot of preparation work. It takes a lot of training, and it takes a lot of understanding of the energies that are around you. So understanding these energies, understanding what they do, and understanding just how, you know, they interact with each other. Like, that's one thing, you know, it's like demonic energies. We work with demonic energies, the demonic divine. So calling in the demonic divine, how is that going to react to the space? How is that going to react to the ghosts that are around us? These ghosts, they liked that everything was contained in one space. So they were wandering around and they were having a good time. Some spaces we've gone into, our demon companions, the ghosts, have actually been afraid of. So they've scattered. So we've had to like ask our companions to step back, just because, you know, the ghosts are scared of them. So they don't want to interact. So by, you know, asking our companions to step back, the ghosts will come forth and interact with us more. But it's very interesting looking at the different dynamics, looking at the different energies and how they interact with each other.
Yeah, that actually just happened on a recent trip as well too, because we had find the space we called in the Dark Woods to create a protective space, and then all the activity in the house was quiet, and Kelta was like, do you hear anything? And I was like, the ghosts are around, but they're kind of like away, and they're afraid of the demons, so we just asked the demons to kind of step back a little, like, you know, keep an eye on things, protect us and everything, but like, don't be so present, because you're scaring the ghosts.
Yes, that exactly. It's like, you're scaring the ghosts, guys. Come on.
Yeah, they're not trying to. It's just, yeah, everybody's afraid of demons. Well, not everybody, but most. Terrified. Yeah, no, not us.
We love our demons. They're wonderful. That was really funny.
Yeah, I mean, if these are people, and people are generally terrified of demons, why would they not be afraid of demons once they have passed
Demons that they can see now, that are right there with them.
Yeah, it was interesting to observe.
It is. It's very interesting to observe going into those spaces, the psychic, like the different layers that you get. Like, there is the, you know, a supernatural, the ghost layer, and then like the demonic layer, and there's all these different components, and then there's the more sinister. There are sinister entities in these places. Like, there are sinister entities in a lot of these places, which, if given the chance, will attack people.
Yeah, and some of them are there. We've been to a lot of paranormal locations, or we've been to a lot of haunted locations at this point, and some of what's there was there when things happen. Some are there as a result of what happened in the space. And some things there are thought forms in some cases, just from people telling stories and drawing that type of energy in.
Yeah.
You know, it varies from location to location.
Yeah, thought forms can actually be incredibly dangerous if they're programmed right. Like, if a thought form is programmed right, they can go right after people and attack them. But there are also quite a few different species of sinister energies out there, and there are a lot of people like to call everything demon. It's not. There's many different types of spiritual forces out there, many different types of entities. They are not all just demons.
Yeah, there are a lot, and you know, sometimes people are like, oh, I'm being haunted by a demon. And there's also things that will show up and say that they're the name of a demon there, and they're not actually a demon. Mm-hmm. Just to terrorize the person because they know the person is afraid of demons.
Yeah, because like, they know.
Fear is something that feeds on fear, and they know that you're a Christian, for example, and you're deathly afraid of demons. They might give you a demon name just to scare you.
Yep.
So they have people saying, I'm being haunted by this demon. And it's like, yeah, no, you're probably not.
Yeah.
You think you are, and whatever it is, you know, probably really haunting you and tormenting you, but I don't think it's that.
Yeah. There are so many different, I do not equate darkness with evil. Darkness and evil are two different things. Darkness is a spectrum of different entities. And within that spectrum, there are entities that are good and dark and entities that are evil and dark. So evil does exist in darkness, but not all things dark are evil, just like light. You know, there's good and evil in light as well. Light can be very sinister. So, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, all dark things are sinister demons. And it's like, well, no, there's many different types of dark entities. And I don't even call demons sinister. They're on the positive end of this, because they are protectors and they understand the darkness. And lots of people have absolutely no problems working with demons because they work with them from a place of respect, from a place of understanding. And just because they're drawn to those energies, they're drawn to the darkness, and demons are our mentors and our guides. They're not out to eat us. Like, it does not make sense to me. Why would a demon want your soul? Like, it's like people are like, oh, well, you know, I want to sell my soul to a demon, or the demon's eating my soul. It's like, first of all, why would a demon eat a soul? Second of all, why would a demon want your soul?
A sludge. So delicious.
Delicious souls. Yum. A sludge, though, like a sludge, there's different types of entities out there which feed on our energy, okay? But they're not eating our soul. They're feeding on our energy. And as they get closer to your core, you know, you get sicker and sicker and sicker, but they're not taking your soul. They're just feeding your energies. And if in the past, you know, if an entity come up and it's like, oh, if you give me your soul, I'll give you fame. You're not giving them your soul. You're literally just allowing them access to eat your energy. That is it. That's why people are like, oh, you know, I gave a demon my soul, but then I went to God and, you know, it didn't have my soul anymore. It never had your soul. And it wasn't even a demon. It was a sludge that convinced you that to give it access to your energies so that it could eat you. And then the second you retained your spiritual authority and were like, no, this is my space, get out, it left. That's what happened in those situations. And also most sludges, they're not going to give you fame and fortune. They're not. They're going to give you misery and horror. They might give you a few like bonuses, but once those hooks are in, nothing.
Yeah. Sounds like a narcissistic relationship. Tell you you're going to get all these things in the beginning and love bombs you. And then at the end, you know, once they get what they want, then they treat you terribly.
Basically. Yeah. Basically. Or yeah. Oh yeah. Sludges, the narcissist of the spiritual world.
Yeah. There's a lot of similarities there.
Yeah. But that's their food source. They're doing it for food. So just remember, you have spiritual authority to define what goes into your space. Fear will let them in. So if you just stand your ground and say, no, my space, get out, then they're not going to be able to get in. They're not going to impact you. And you can define the parameters of what goes into your space. This is what we did at the Queen Mary. We defined the parameters of what happened in that space. And it was very interesting. It was very interesting. The surprise at the end of overnight was very, very, very cool.
Yeah.
I appreciated that. And I'm not going to go into detail of that because I'll let you guys go watch it. But it was interesting.
Yeah, it was.
And it makes sense considering what we did. Like, it makes sense with everything. It manifested, like I was looking for a manifestation that night, and seeing how it manifested, it was like, all right, yes, this is good. This is exactly what we wanted to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk about it in another delightfully dark discussion later on.
Yes. We'll have to talk about it more.
We don't want to ruin any surprises right now.
No, we don't. We don't. It was very cool though. It was very, very cool. Going on the Queen Mary was an amazing experience. Like, it was absolutely amazing. And you know, the amount of research that we've done, the amount of work that we've done on this path, developing the shields, developing the layers of protection, working with the dark goods, like it is one thing to do it in our altars room, in our ritual space, but to do it on a ship in that capacity was amazing. And seeing the energies of that space, it was phenomenal. It was incredible. Like, I've never done a ritual on the Queen Mary before, and the energies of that space are fantastic. So, you know, you can actually rent out B340. So if you are called to go there and experience it, I would recommend it. I would completely recommend it. Just bring your shields and stay shielded, especially if you're really psychic, because there is something sinister there. So just make sure that you have that parameter set up. But those energies were incredible. And we are actually going to be doing more rituals. We're going to be doing more rituals, which we are going to record and put up on our channel. So we're going to be writing more rituals and doing them in a way that we can show them to you on YouTube. So we are going to be doing more Delightfully Dark discussions with myself and Alana. So if you want to, if you want us to talk about anything or discuss any topics, please just, you know, drop it below in the comments section. We'd love to hear from you. We're going to be doing Delightfully Dark discussions and priestess talks once a week. And we're going to bring back our pick a card. So those are coming back. And yeah, we're going to be doing more rituals, more guided meditations, more enchanting. We've got a lot of stuff coming down the pipeline for you guys.
Thank you guys for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. Definitely, if you have something you want to hear us talk about, we have a few topics planned already, but we are always open to suggestions. So just leave us a comment or come join our Discord and talk to us.
Yeah. Well, I'll leave the link to the Discord as well. So please join our Discord. We have a lot of new surprises coming in our Discord as well. So if you are open to learning more about demons and want to learn more about our path and ourselves, come join us. We'd love to have a conversation with you. And please, if you love our content and you want to see more of it, subscribe to our channel. Subscriptions help so much. I can't tell you. And for those of you who are subscribed, we absolutely love you and adore you. And we're going to be doing more interactive things with you on YouTube and also in Discord. So I hope you guys enjoyed this video. Please go check out Overnight. Watch the video of the Queen Mary. It was fantastic. And if you guys want, we can do like a follow-up on the Queen Mary talking about things. We could even do like a reaction video to the Queen Mary, watching it and showing you guys our thoughts on it. Let us know what you want. Let us know what you want. We'd love to hear from you. So thanks so much for joining us. And I hope you have an amazing and demonically inspired week. Till next time. Bye.
Bye.